Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. I'm Ken Smith, talking today with Elsie Bowman, a sophomore at Klamath Union High School. And she's joining me to talk about a documentary she made for the high school in the digital media program called Run Free, about the restoration of the Klamath River following the removal of four dams. Elsie, welcome.
Hello, I'm happy to be on. Thank you.
And you won an award that I attended last weekend at KU for your documentary. Let the audience know what that award was for.
So that was for the C-SPAN documentary that I entered. It's a national competition that C-SPAN puts on every year. I don't know exactly what place I got. I think somewhere in the top 50. Out of thousands of applications, and yeah, they just had a little ceremony to celebrate me and then the other video winners who did an amazing job as well.
And you won a KU award?
I don't know if I did win a KU award.
Oh, they just presented the documentary.
Yes, they just presented it.
Okay, well, I watched it, and it was very good, very informative, well-researched. How did you focus on this issue?
So I've grown up outdoors, and my family, we do a lot of outdoor, focused things. My dad, he used to guide. He was a river, whitewater, river rafting guide on Upper Klamath, along with my uncle. And so I've been really just influenced by that. I've always been going down the road, rafting, fly fishing, fishing, kayaking, whitewater kayaking. And so this was just a really important issue that I wanted to highlight and just show people that we should just be conscious of the decisions that we're making and how they affect the surrounding environment.
And you're not a tribal member, but there was some mention in the restoration documentary about the tribal impact of the dams.
Yes.
What got you on to that aspect of it?
I think the fish are really important for everyone, especially our tribal members. And so I just wanted to highlight the significance that they have for our surrounding tribes and what they do for them and how this river restoration project will bring back just a significant or will have a significant effect on our Klamath tribes and then other tribal members.
That's very thoughtful of you. Very mature.
Yeah.
And yeah, being a non-tribal member to include that, I thought was very impressive. Also, your research was very well done. How long did it take you? How long was the documentary? How long did it take you to put it together?
So as soon as I finished my last year's documentary, which was on the bald eagles of the Klamath Basin, my dad, he was like, Elsie, I really want you to do a video on the fish. And then the same with my grandpa, he was like, I would really love it if you would be able to put something out there, even if it's for C-SPAN or just a personal video for our family. Because it was a really just big monumental moment for us to see the fish return.
Fish,
and so I've been researching this.
When we say the fish, we're referring to the salmon for the most part.
Yes, correct. The salmon and having access to those waters that they haven't had access to for decades. And so I've been researching this since last summer, just looking into it.
And how long was it?
So last summer, so probably
the documentary
6 months or so.
The documentary itself.
Oh, it was how long I've been working on it?
No, how long is the documentary? Was it 10 minutes or so?
Oh, it's 5 minutes.
5 minutes. But six months of work and then the editing process, of course. Did you do the editing?
Yeah. I did a main amount of the editing. My CTE program, the CTE program director, Dan Stearns, he helped a lot with the audio stuff because there were some logistical issues that I needed to be worked out.
Mm-hmm. Are you part of the digital media program at KU?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been involved with that?
Since my freshman year.
Are you looking to parlay your experience at KU with the digital media in your college curriculum?
I'm not too sure. I would love it if I could go onto a career where I could produce like documentaries. I don't think that's going to be my main career path, but maybe just a side hustle or something fun that I could do as a big project in college to just produce a documentary. I really like focusing on like conservation issues because that's what I really am passionate about. And so just maybe producing something around those lines.
Anything in the pipeline that you wanted to do to follow the documentary on the river?
Not really. I just thought it was a really good like experience for me. And then especially just a bonding experience with my grandfather and I, because I remember him just like initially sending me a video of the salmon coming up Spencer Creek. And he was like, Elsie, I have to take you down there. And so every single weekend for probably about a month and a half, we would just go down to like the J.C. Boyle Dam removal. And I just film for like 3 hours and just watch these fish come up Spencer Creek and from the river and just jumping out. So it was just a really amazing experience.
So your grandfather had been around to fish at a time when salmon were actually running up the river?
Yes, we were both down there. And so we would just go down and visit, and that's where I got a lot of my footage on for the video. I shot everything on my iPhone 12, so yeah.
Okay, I was thinking in the past, though, he hadn't seen it because the dams were there. So he was witnessing it for the first time in his life as well, right?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing because I remember when... Like my dad remembers when my grandfather was like younger and he was his dad. And he was like, I just never know if we're ever going to see the salmon again in the river. And my dad would always say those same things to me growing up. And the fact that we can have three generations of my family be able to see the fish return.
Well, let's put it another way. It took three generations to see the fish return.
Yes, it did.
So it's a very historic moment for all of us. And it's quite a time to witness this, and you have a long time to see how it develops.
Yes, I do.
You need to put some kind of documentary together as you witness the change.
Yes, I would love to do that, just even if it's a personal documentary. I'm really excited. I've gone into my dad, he's gotten us into like whitewater kayaking, and so maybe if I could incorporate some of my sister doing that. And then also us fly fishing, that would be very cool.
Let's talk a little bit more about the 5-minute documentary. What did you learn in the process of putting it together?
I just learned to just be like, I'm really good with my time management. And so I just tried to like block out everything that I wanted to get done, all my filming by a certain date, all my edits by a certain date, all my like audio by a certain date, and just all those logistics figured out. And so just staying organized and being competent. Yeah.
What about the river itself as you went out there?
It was like recovering. I think that as soon as I only filmed down by the J.C. Boyle dam removal in Keno. And so just seeing the river slowly just come back to its natural form from being in that huge, like contained by the dam and then just go back to its natural form. It was really beautiful to just see how it just went straight back, even after years of being contained. I don't know. It was really cool. And it was resilient, I think, that it was able to just transform back.
You mentioned that you did see some salmon.
Yes, I saw tons of salmon coming up from the river. And then also there's like this little creek, Spencer Creek, and they were coming up there. And you could just, there's a little gravel road that you take down in Keno, and you could just watch the salmon come up there and spawn. So you could just see the full life cycle right in front of you. It was amazing.
Well, we did a short video. One of our Ambodot fish specialists took a video of the first salmon spotted in Spencer Creek.
Uh-huh.
And when you were watching the salmon come up in more abundance, what time of year was that?
I believe, I don't know exactly. I think that was kind of late fall, almost into winter, not cold enough. Or maybe it was actually at the beginning, like after winter when everything was thawing.
So how many salmon do you estimate you saw?
I would say I saw about 50 in like my total of visits.
And they were spawning?
Yes, they were spawning. They were everywhere. It was really hard because I was, again, capturing everything on my iPhone, and it doesn't have the best quality. But you could just see there was just groups of like 8 salmon just coming up under the water, and you could see them out in the river just jumping up and down, and there was just tons of them.
I don't recall if I saw that in the documentary. Did you show that?
I didn't put all the footage that I got in there. It's kind of hard to see because it's pretty grainy, but there are some out in the river that I tried to catch and they were out there.
Did you use your iPhone for the entire shoot?
Yes, I was really nervous about taking one of our school's like very expensive cameras out there just because it was very muddy. And my first time out there, I was covered from head to toe in mud and my shoes were completely destroyed. So I just decided to shoot everything on my iPhone for safety reasons.
So are we talking spring 2025?
Yes,
So you were
I
just
think
out
so.
there.
Yeah.
And you got that quick, that was like at the very end of your documentary process.
Yeah.
And then,
Yes.
so we're talking April, right, of this year, you saw these salmon spawning.
Yes.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know that was going on until
Yeah, they were.
yeah, go ahead.
It was really amazing. There wasn't, I was so happy whenever I went down there. There was like not a lot of people down there, and anyone that we did see was being super respectful and just like aware of the salmon and not trying to like disrupt them at all. But yeah, they were just spawning up Spencer Creek or Creek, and it was really amazing.
Chinook, spring Chinook.
Yes, spring Chinook, correct.
They have good size to them.
Yes, they were very large. They look super healthy.
Like they have an idea of the pounds, like 20 pounds,
Yeah, I'd say 20 plus pounds, yeah.
that's a good size. So these are the Chinook that made their way from the Rogue River or the Klamath River mouth, right at the sea. I
Yes.
expect, and made their way all the way up in the spring to the spawning area.
Yes, and now that they're not blocked by either like the J.C. Boyle Dam and then also those three other dams, they have access to all those like hundreds of miles of water that they didn't have before.
So we have the spring Chinook run that has been completed, and now we await
Yes.
the fall run of Chinook.
Yes.
So this is really the first glimpse of the first group of salmon to make it up the Klamath River since the dams were removed.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something. I wish I had seen that. I should have
It
got
was,
out there.
yeah. It was really cool. And I know you'll be able to see it next year. I think the most surprising thing for me was just being able to see like that much salmon come through and just for them to just follow that natural pathway, even after being blocked from it for so long, that they just knew where to go.
Yeah, they've been blocked for, since 18 when the first dam was put in, or
I believe so. I don't know exactly.
and now suddenly they appear again. And yeah, like you said, genetically, it just
Yeah.
stays with them. This is where we need to go.
Yeah.
Then you also talked in great deal about the restoration of the river. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you learned there?
Well, we got an interview. I don't know if I'm or pronouncing his like job title correctly. He's a fluvial geomorphologist.
Wow.
And his job, yes, I know, big title. He was super kind, and he was in the same. He started those interviews for my video. He was filming in the same spot that I had also been filming. And his job, he's in charge of the river restoration project, so just making sure all that sediment and then those natural plants are able to grow and just it's able to return that to the natural state that it was originally. So I think he really helped me talk to me about that and then how his process with his team is going to
We are a tribal podcast for the Klamath tribes. What did you learn about the fish in relation to the tribes in their tr as a traditional food source?
I don't know exactly. I got a lot of my interviews from C-SPAN, and so there were some tribal members talking about the significance of the Chinook salmon in their traditions. I don't know. I wasn't able to get into contact with someone from the tribe, so I really would have loved. What is your perspective on this?
Could be a part two.
Yes, I know. I would love to do that.
And as for the sport, we talk about the possibility of maybe a sport fishing opening up again sometime with the
Yeah.
salmon. And You know, I was reading today that they opened up sport fishing for Chinook in another river in Oregon today for the first time. So if we ever got to that point with the Klamath River, it would be quite something when it actually is at a sustainable level for the fish to be caught. Is that your ultimate dream?
Yes, I think it's good for people to have, like, enjoy recreational activities. I just think everything should just be done consciously and aware of what they're doing, and then also everything in moderation. So just knowing what they're doing and how this ecosystem works together and why those fish are so vital to the ecosystem.
You are a fisher person, a fisher, as we call them, a woman who fishes in sports fishes. You're fly fishing. Tell me a little bit about your experience as a being outdoors as a sports fisher.
Oh, my dad fly fishes, my uncle fly fishes, my grandpa fly fishes. And so consequently, my sister and I, we both fly fish. It's a really fun experience. I think it's just good to be out there with my grandpa and my dad in the boat or just on the shore. And it's just, I don't know, it's a beautiful art. I like it.
How long have you been involved in fly fishing?
Since I was little, I've been going down to the Klamath River Canyon with my dad or my grandpa, and they've just been teaching me slowly over the years how to cast. Either we started with spinning rods, and then we're slowly transitioning to like a spay rod of my own. So yeah.
Have you been out to Upper Klamath Lake or any tributaries? Do you fish for trout around here? What's your experience?
I haven't fished personally, but I go out with my dad. And so I go with him and I watch him fish, and then we take turns and he teaches me.
Very good. Is there anything else you wanted to add about your documentary that we didn't discuss? Anything you learned or want to share with the audience?
No, I think we covered everything. That was good.
Very good. Well, you're at Klamath Union High School. You're finishing your sophomore year. Well done. And an excellent 5-minute documentary that we saw that night. If anybody wants to see it again, are you posting it online?
I think you can access it on the Klamath Union website and then also maybe the C-SPAN website as well. I think it's also on our Klamath Union Facebook page.
All right. Very good. Elsie Bauman from Klamath Union High School, a sophomore, documentary maker, stellar student. Thank you for joining me today on the Klamath Tribes podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful day.